Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2016, another year, we pray, of A Seeking Heart here on Redbox Media. Before I go any further, I'm going to start with a prayer. I can't think of a better way to kick off our year together than by invoking the Lord and His name and His holy name to guide us on our conversation. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of life, for the gift of a new year, for that just that wonderful feeling of new beginnings. Lord, we ask you to guide us in this conversation and in our life and in anything we do today and every day. Lord, we ask you to help us to find you in our everyday. This week we're going to be journeying with Everyday Divine. Lord, help us to see that every day with you is divine and that you are in every moment of our lives. Help us to always recognize you and to seek you when we can't find you. Lord, we ask for a special blessing upon this new year, 2016. Open our minds to the messages that you have for us. And we ask all of this in your most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. If you are a new listener, I'm so happy to have you. If you have been journeying with me for, it will be a year tomorrow, believe it or not, January 5th, 2015, we kicked off A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, and tomorrow will mark the year anniversary. To mark that, since I'll be now using encore or pre-recorded messages. Oh, look, I made all of 2 minutes into the new year before I said something wrong. It wouldn't be A Seeking Heart if I was a trained professional. So Tuesdays will be pre-recorded shows or encore shows. So to kick off, I thought it would be really fun to do the very first show that I did. So if you missed the very first January 5th, 2015 show, A Seeking Heart, where I started off talking about The Grace of Yes, a wonderful book from my good friend Lisa Hendy, that will be airing tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'll be back on Wednesday, Thursday, and God willing, Friday to talk about this week's book, Everyday Divine by Mary Tatouris Poust. She'll be here on Friday to talk about the book with us. I'm excited. She was with us last year with her book that just completely went out of my mind. It was this great book on being mindful in your food. I don't know why it's not coming to me. But if you want to know more about Mary, her wonderful writing, her terrific books, go to notstrictlyspiritual.com. Notstrictlyspiritual.com. And on the break, I'll look up her book. This is what I really wish Jennifer was at the board. I have Alex there now, who's wonderful. But Jennifer was with me since January 5th, and she would know, and she's read almost every book, or as she says, bought almost every book, and she'd know exactly which book I was talking about. That's all right. We'll get to that. Mary Tatouris Poust, Everyday Divine. Very excited to be sharing this book with you this week. We have a great lineup, and I am going to be quite honest with you. I had these great expectations and plans for my vacation. I've actually had these great expectations and plans for the whole year. I just always seem to be one step behind. I never seem to catch up. I never seem to get all my plans accomplished. I don't know if you feel that same way. It's wonderful how much the Lord has called me to do, but as a one-man band, or as a one-woman show, as they say, I feel like I'm just never caught up. Well, unfortunately, our lives took a very tragic turn on Christmas Eve afternoon, which left me even more behind because my attention all had to go to grieving and to my son, Adam, who is really struggling in a horrible situation. On Christmas Eve, he received a text from a good friend that just said, "I love you like a brother." And he just knew something was wrong. and he received another text from another friend saying, I don't know what's up, but there's something not right with our friend Brett. And so Adam and his dad happened to be just down the street. I say happened, because, but truly nothing happens by accident. He was just down the street from Brett's house, and he said to his father, "Can we go there?" Said, "Absolutely." And so they hurried over to his friend's home. He got to the door, and he said to his mom, "You know, could we check on Brett? Something's just not right." And sadly, when they got to his room, he had asphyxiated himself. The solace that we take, the beauty that we take, is that Adam's action, just called his just trusting in his instincts, got there quick enough that he was able to be kept alive on life support long enough to, one, and most importantly, receive his last rites, which, of course, we as Catholics believe really do make a difference in our lives in the hereafter, that our sins are forgiven, that God's mercy is just poured down upon us, and receiving that sacrament. The gifts of the sacraments are incredible to one's life and to one's hope for eternal life. And so he was able to receive the last rites, and they were also able to evaluate him and give his organs to 6 recipients. Brett had a very rare blood type, we learned during the funeral, and the people who received his organs were 6 people who had waited a long time. So those are the solace we take from this moment, but he sadly was taken off life support and passed away Christmas Day. And so our Christmas Eve, our Christmas Day, our entire Christmas season has been in great mourning, great sadness. I was Brett's preschool teacher. I used to be a preschool teacher. I had a little preschool here in my home. I had a daycare for many years and then transitioned over to a preschool. I loved preschool. I just got too old and tired for preschool, which is why I switched to ministry, but I just felt this call to share the word of God, and the old lady-ness in me said, you know what, this might be a time for me to say goodbye to preschool. But I did not leave preschool until all 4 of the Plew children had gone through my preschool. Brett and his twin sister Olivia were the first. And it's just been just a week of just remembering how delicate life is, how difficult mental illness is. And if you've been following the show, you know that this is very close to our family, where my son, our eldest son, Ian, has been struggling with mental illness and suicidal thoughts for many, many years, and was hospitalized in October. So my heart for my son, Adam, is absolutely breaking. And just to see how much this has all affected him, to have been there, to have seen so much, to heard so much. Everyone keeps calling him a hero, because he had the where for all. His Olivia told me to call 911. He talked Brett's mom through CPR. It's all for a 16-year-old boy. So if you could please keep Adam and the Plewd family, and of course the repose of Brett's soul, in your prayers, we would be forever grateful. It's just amazing to me that God does really bring forth good in these moments. And he promises in Romans 8:28 to bring forth good for all those who love him. And we do love him. We love the Lord with all our hearts. At least we're trying awfully hard. And to see the good that's come from this, you know, the gift of life for 6 people, to hear my sons promise each other that they would never put our family or each other through what's happening, that's a great gift and grace for our family, because we live with the shadow over us for so long, and it's such a difficult journey. If you're somebody who's struggling with a child with depression, with suicidal thoughts, and how hard that is, please know you are in my prayers. And if you ever need to talk, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. Let's not sweep mental illness under the carpet. It is real. Everyone keeps saying, well, what made him do this? You know, what was wrong? What big, it wasn't a big event in his life. It wasn't a rash decision of a one day of having a bad day. This was a true struggle a battle inside of his heart and inside of himself with depression and thinking that life isn't worth living. And no matter how much you tell somebody that you love them and how much you tell them that, you know, it will get better, it's hard to feel like it's going to get better when you're in the middle of it. And if anyone who's dealt with depression knows that it's not always better. It does, you do get better for a time, but you're always going to, this is always going to be a cross that you bear, and it's always going to be a demon that you need to face and battle. And it can go away and then it can come back. I know this because I live this. And so, you know, I just, with my faith, I am able to overcome, but I'm not always able to get out of my own way. You know, I'm not always able to accomplish all that I have to accomplish, because that darkness that can really overtake you and keep you from getting, the only way I can explain it is just so hard some days to get out of your own way. So there are some people who just get so stuck that they see no way out. But there's so many millions of us who just have bouts of, we call it a funk. Maybe you call it, I call it a funk, where I can't get out of my own way. So today we're going to get out of my own way. I'm going to ask for your prayers for the Pludes, for my son Adam, and we're going to come back from this break and pick up with Everyday Divine, because if there's any way to pull yourself out of a funk, it's to spend time in prayer. And I can't wait to share this book with you. Again, this is Mary DeTerris Pouse's book, Everyday Divine. She'll be here with me on Friday, January 8th. I loved speaking with Mary last time. In fact, during our interview, her husband texted her and said, "You too could be really great friends if you lived close by. We had a lot in common. It was a very natural and wonderful conversation. And I look forward to that on Friday. Stay tuned during this break. We'll be right back with Everyday Divine right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're going to spend the rest of the day talking about Everyday Divine, Mary DeTerris Pouse's new book. No, I'm sorry. This is not a new book. It's a new book for me. It's her 2012 book. You know me here on A Seeking Heart. I don't just want to promote brand new books, but I want to promote books that I like and that we can use in our everyday life of growing in closeness to God. A Seeking Heart is your online book club, and I want it to feel like a book club. So this year, 2016, we're going to grow this book, this online book club, by growing the conversation. So I'm going to invite you on at 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. Okay, perhaps you haven't read the book. I get that. I just announced it a couple of days ago. But if you heard the first segment, I meant to announce it months ago, but hey, things happen. So we're going to, you know, try to get these books announced earlier. I have the whole lineup for January and February. I'm going to get that posted today. That's on my list, my to-do list. Pray for my humongous and not getting done any quickly. But we're going to get these up there. And but what I want you to know, and what I tell everybody who comes to my own book club here at my house, Catholic book club or Bible study, is that even if you do not read the book, you can absolutely join the conversation, because we're not going to be talking about plot or reviewing the book or analyzing the book. We're going to be talking about spirituality. We're going to be talking about our own lives in connection with God. And the questions that we raise and the things that we say are all parts of the conversation that you can easily join into. If your heart feels moved, 573-4-BREAD-4, give me a call. I swear it will feel like you are just talking on the phone to a friend. You will not have to think about that it's being recorded or that it's being sent out over the airwaves or the internet. You and I, we can just have a conversation. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. Help me make 2016 the year that this online book club becomes a conversation. So today we're going to be looking at Everyday Divine, married to Taurus Pouce. You can find out more about her on notstrictlyspiritual.com. And if you want to learn more about which books are coming up, go to reconciledtoyou.com. That's my website, reconciledtoyou.com. Click on radio show and you'll see all the books that we've done and all the books that are to come. I think I'm going to start a second slideshow just for so we can keep the years straight. That was a thought that just came to me as we were talking. Need to write that down because the internet can get pretty overwhelming when you try to find something. So I try to make it as easy as possible, not being a webmaster, but the person who is in charge of my website, which I guess technically makes me the webmaster. We're going to over again on reconciledtoyou.com. You can find out all the books that are coming up. Yes, I forgot to look up Mary's book. I will look up Mary's book and I'll actually be able to tell you in the next section what book is coming next week here as well. I know which books are lined up for January, but I don't know which order. I know, surprise, which order I have them in. So I want to make sure I give them to you in the right order. So Everyday Divine, in this book, let me just read from the back cover. You don't have to make time to discover the divine in your life. Now, you had me there because how many of us have these cluttered, crazy, chaotic lives and days, and you're trying to fit everything in. And what goes to the bottom of the pile? For me, it's almost always prayer. At least it used to almost always be prayer. It was always the last thing that I made. That's what I did. Like the last thing I would make an important or a priority would be prayer. But the older I get and the more I discover how awesome God is, I now realize that truly needs to be the very first thing I do. And Father James Alabrioni, he used to teach that when you made God first, when you put him as a priority, you will be amazed at the time you find in your day. Because God isn't confined to our time, and God isn't confined to the constraints of the world. And so if you give him your time and he has something he needs you to do the rest of the day, you'll be amazed. And I have seen this happen again and again. You know, it's kind of ridiculous how much I've seen it happen, and yet I still fall into the trap of not doing prayer first sometimes. I'm getting much better at it. But I find like weekdays, I'm good. Like the routine of the weekdays, I'm good. My daughter gets on the bus. I sometimes stay awake and not crawl back into bed because she gets on the bus at 6 a.m. and I am a night owl. I don't know about you, but I've always been a night, and I had kids, and then I'm trying to revert to this person who gets up in the morning, and sometimes I'm okay with it. And even after 20 years of being a mama, I'm not always okay at it because for most of those years I homeschooled kids and we just had our own little schedules. That was nice. But now we have a bus to catch. Anyway, so some like the weekdays I do pretty good in getting myself into prayer, spending time during the really difficult time of the last few months as my father-in-law was passing away and Ian was having his struggles. I was really into a pattern of prayer with novenas and the rosary, but a rosary, the booklet that I followed, the 54-day rosary novena. I would really just cling to these written prayers and could really get into a rhythm. I would spend almost 2 hours in the morning in prayer. And I honestly don't think I would have got through anything since pretty much October 1st on without that great discipline of prayer. But there's something about prayer that I'm just learning myself, is that there's rhythms and there's different seasons. That's the word I guess I'm looking for, seasons of prayer. And that was good for that time. And it made sense for that time. And it held me up and definitely made my crosses feel sweeter and lighter as I did my reconsecration to Jesus through Mary, through 33 days to morning glory. As I did the 54-day rosary novena, the undoer of knots novena, like all of those things that had the books and I would read, it was spiritual reading and it was meditative prayer. And it was, repetitive prayers that I knew that I could really just throw myself, even when I was at the depths of not being able to pray, into prayer. They've sustained me. And now I'm kind of coming out of that a little bit. And I felt like I wanted to spend a little bit more time in scriptural prayer, just really contemplating the word of God, still trying to get out there every day, even though it's getting way colder and much harder to get out there and do my my rosary walk. I brought the treadmill out of the mothballs. I'm going to try to do the treadmill rosary during the colder months because it gets pretty cold here in New England. I think it's supposed to be like 6 degrees tomorrow. We're having like this random snow falling from the sky this morning. It wasn't like a snowstorm. It's just like the air is so cold that snow falls. Yeah. Welcome to New England. It's crazy. And I don't even live in the coldest place. I can't imagine living like in Buffalo, New York or some of the Canadian territories. I just can't even fathom the coldness. Anyway, so I'm trying to get into this more, you know, spend some time with scripture. I feel like some of the most, I almost said magical, but I guess mystical moments I've ever had with God have come from being in scripture, either in a book, reading scripture, reading a book, and there is some scripture in there that really just speaks to my heart, or just the Bible roulette that I play, that I just open up the Bible, pray, and kind of just contemplate the verse in front of me. Those have been some incredible moments, and I realize those moments have been so incredible because that's the Word of God. And in contemplating those words, you're contemplating God. Like, He is speaking to you through Scripture. If you've never had an experience with Scripture, gosh, I hope that you look at 2016 as a way of a time to really give this a try. Get a Catholic version of the Bible. I really like the New Living Translation, Catholic edition. I just think the way it's written, just for me, speaks to my heart. It's something for me to understand really well. But just to, I don't ever start reading the Bible from page one. I mean, you can certainly read the Genesis story, but I feel like if you're a newbie to the Bible, that's a one way to get very discouraged, because as soon as you get to Numbers and Lamentations, you'll be like, what? I'm lost. And then there's also the vision of God in there can be a little more harsh. It can be scary sometimes to think of God as being that judgmental and that harsh, where we know He's more merciful. Here we have the year of mercy. He's more loving. I always recommend the book, the Gospel of John is a really great place to start. And the book, the letter from St. Paul to the Romans, love Romans, one of my favorites. So there's just some ideas for this year. If you want to start to be a little more scriptural in your prayer life, the Gospel of John, Book of Romans, the Psalms. Oh, I love praying the Psalms. That's a great place as well. If you're unsure of where to start in the Bible, you can always call 2-573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4 if you need some advice or you want to talk about prayer. We come back from these messages. We're going to look more at Everyday Divine, Mary Chitoris Paust, NotStrictlySpiritual.com, and we're going to look at kind of creating calm in the chaos of our life. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Allison, who forgot to look up all those things she said she would look up during that break because she was too busy social mediaing. Is that a word? Social mediaing? Probably not. But I just needed a word because that's what I do. I make up words. All right, so I guess I will look up that stuff now as I talk. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know how those hosts do that. You know that they've just looked something up, but they just amaze me because they keep talking while they look stuff up. I don't know how they do that because I'm doing it and I'm just talking in circles. So we're talking today about what book? Yes, Everyday Divine, Mary Deterra's Pouse, which is actually who I was social media-ing with. I noticed that she made a comment on Instagram, and I wanted to remind everybody that she'd be here on Friday. So excited to have her here on Friday. It's making me crazy that I can't think of the name of the book that we did of hers. So I was like, going to quickly go through the list. We had such an amazing 2015. I'm so grateful for all of the authors that came on. As I flip through this slideshow of the wonderful people who joined me here, I'm just amazed and the people I've got to meet and share their amazing books with you. Ah, Cravings. I found it. A Catholic Wrestles with Food, Self-Image, and God. Cravings by Mary Deterra's Pouse. That was a fabulous book. Just because I can't think of the name doesn't mean I didn't love it, and I learned a lot from it. And that's where I started my whole journey to get healthier. Then I finally discovered that gluten and dairy did not like my body, even though I enjoyed them immeasurably. So they have both left the building. And this was the first Christmas that I wasn't sick the whole time. It was pretty amazing. I did miss the fudge. I have to say I did have a couple of cheats, but I didn't cheat with the dairy. I cheated with the gluten just a teeny bit. Somebody brought, and I didn't eat all the cookies. I couldn't. The snickerdoodles are my favorite. I couldn't help myself. So I had one day where I didn't have to go anywhere or be anywhere. And I thought, I'm just going to risk it. But the one cookie, did not hurt. But I won't fall into that trap and thinking I can have cookies. My dear friend Anna did surprise me on New Year's Eve. Her husband made homemade marshmallow. Delicious, by the way. And then they made Lazy Man s'mores. They crumpled in graham crackers and then covered it all in chocolate. And she made me special gluten-free, dairy-free of these. And I've been enjoying them ever since. They were so good. So but just thinking about it, making my mouth water. Can't even talk. My mouth's watering as I think about these Lazy Man s'mores that she was so sweet to, pun intended, to make special for me. Because the dairy, I cannot cheat on. I've learned that lesson the hard way. Do you know what this really wonderful friend of mine did, Anna Burke? She did. She posted on her Facebook wall that that old tradition of writing in blessed chalk over your doorway for a special blessing for the year to come. And you write 20, then you write plus C plus M plus B plus, and then the year. So 2016 are on the outside. So 20 plus an the CMB stand for the names of the three wise men. So you do this on the Epiphany, which if you haven't done yet and you know a priest and you can get your chalk blessed, while Sunday was the Epiphany that we celebrated in Mass, Wednesday the 6th is actually the date of the Epiphany if you call, you know, do the count out from Christmas. So you still have time to do this. So get chalk blessed. Yes, they will do it for you. You got to keep it in a safe place, though, after you've blessed it. And then the C, the M, the B stand for the three wise men. I know, I should know, like Casper, Milk or something. I always go with Rackshack and Benny, thanks to the VeggieTales. But it also has a double meaning, and it says, Christ, enter and bless this house. It's the Latin for Christ, enter this house, or Christ, bless this house. I'm sorry, not enter this house. Christ, bless this house. Which, of course, if he entered this house, he would absolutely bless it. And then you add it with the ending date. You can do it on the outside of your house. You can do it on the inside of your house. We did it over both doors that you enter into our home and at the front doors that you enter into. And my daughter insisted we do it over her door as well. It was pretty neat. So thank you, Anna, for posting that, and not only posting it, but then when I wrote under it, can I borrow your chalk? Getting me my own chalk. It's just so blessed to have relationships with friends, with godly friends who love the faith as much as we do, and also to have priests where we can feel comfortable enough to go up and ask for that. We were teasing that, and hopefully, God willing, in 3.5 years, my husband will be able to bless Chuck, and we'll be able to continue this tradition well into our elderly years. So this week, I am journeying with Everyday Divine, Mary DeTauris Paust. I'm going to talk a lot more about this book on Wednesday and Thursday. Today is kind of that catch-up day that I always do. And as I've mentioned, our family went through a horrible tragedy, and my son losing his very best friend to suicide, and being a great part of the being there when he was discovered and trying to help save his life. And we actually ended up... the day after Christmas, I allowed him to have 7 of his close friends, Brett's close friends as well, spend the night at our house. And then just the night of the funeral, which was Saturday, I said, you can just invite whoever you want over. And we had about 14 kids come and spend some time with us. And then 10 of them spent the night. You would never have known. What good kids. You've never known there was 10 kids sleeping in the home. My only rule was that when it was time to sleep, there would be no purpling, which means the boys go in one space, the girls go in another. And they were very respectful of that. And just glad to be of some service, you know, just to offer something to help them all through this very, very, very difficult time. And, you know, the most important part of getting through this difficult time, of course, is prayer. And that's, you know, the focus of our book this week, Everyday Divine, is that God is part of every moment of our life. We don't have to just encounter him on Sunday at Mass or in these deep meditative moments, that he is part of all of our life, every moment of our life. In this book, The Path to the Divine, it says on the back here, is the same path you take through life every minute of every day. It doesn't require carving out extra time or giving up daily activities, just changing the way you approach. The author, Mary DeTauris Paust, shows you how to transform your actions of your busy day and incorporate prayer and center your spiritually. Okay, try that again, Allison. That incorporate prayer and center you spiritually. That makes much more sense when you put the pauses in the right place while meeting life's responsibilities. Everyday Divine offers practical ideas and realistic advice for bringing sacred practice into the most mundane activities. Drawing on both ancient tradition and modern thought, Paust deftly combines suggestions, exercises, personal stories, prayers, and the wisdom of holy men and women through the ages. With warmth and humor, definitely with humor, she guides you through methods that help you find spiritual space and calm while immersed in the bustle of day-to-day activities, such as doing chores, driving, cooking, enjoying leisure time, working out, and much more. If you're looking for a route to a more prayerful and joyful life, this book shows you the way. Which is why I thought it was a perfect book to kick off our new year with. The minute I finished interviewing Mary last year, I said, I want you back. Which book should I do? You pick the book. I love them all. And it was her suggestion to do Everyday Divine. And, you know, the minute I started to look it over, I knew this was the week we had to do it. Because if there's any resolution that we should make and make every effort to keep, it's to talk to God more often, to bring prayer and spiritual practice into our every day, every moment. You know, she's probably... going to talk about some of these things that I've already shared with you. I we have a very like-mindedness, Mary and I. One of the things that I did long ago, and I still continue to this day, almost 20 years later, 15 years later, is bringing prayer into doing the laundry. You know, it can be such an arduous task, especially when your kids are little and it just feels like there's just a million pieces of clothing in that dryer as you're pulling it out. And I used to do everybody's laundry. Now I'm quite blessed. All the boys in my house do their own laundry. So Kevin, Ian, and Adam all do their own laundry. I just do Faith's and mine and towels. Every once in a while, a stray sock or a pair of pants or a work uniform makes it into my laundry. But when they were really little, I would pull out each piece, and instead of kind of, you know, dreading what I was doing, I would offer a prayer. So I pulled out a little shirt. I'd pray, if it was Adam's, I'd pray for Adam. I'd pray for Ian. I'd pray for Kevin. With each piece of clothing, I'd pray for them, fold it, put it in a nice neat pile, and then bring it to their home, their room, and pray as I put it away. I don't know about you. I don't mind folding laundry. I really don't. I despise putting it away, which the piles on my floor, if I have to be true, confession time here, would show. I don't know why it's so hard for me to put away laundry. Maybe it's because, you know, we don't have room for the clothes that we have. Maybe it's time to bless the poor. You know, this year of mercy, clothe the naked. Maybe that could be one of our acts of charity during this year of mercy. That corporal work of mercy is offering up some of our extra excess clothes to those in need. And maybe putting away that laundry won't be so hard. But in the meantime, I'll just pray for them as I fold the towels and put those away. Do you do the what do you call that, trash, or the dishes, all great times to offer prayer for your family and your loved ones. Instead of looking at it as an activity that you dread, you can turn it into an activity of time with God, that special quiet time with God where your hands are busy, but your mind is still able to spend some time in prayer. We come back, we're going to spend a little bit more time with Everyday Divine Mary de Tours Spouse right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Talking this week about Everyday Divine, Mary de Tours Spouse book from 2012, but it's one that will never go out of style because it's one that brings us closer to God in our everyday, helps us to open up our hearts and our minds to how God can touch us in the everyday activities of our lives. I did look up on that break to see what's coming up next. So tomorrow, don't miss the encore presentation of the very first A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras as we celebrate 1 year, which is unbelievable, tomorrow, January 5th. Next, and then I'll pick back up on Wednesday and Thursday with Everyday Divine, and then on Friday, Mary de Tours Spouse will be here to talk with us live, 10 a.m. Looking forward to that. Get your questions ready and write down this number, 573-4BREAD-4, 573, or if you want to spend some time talking to Mary yourself. Coming up this month, these books you can order now or just be prepared to have a discussion. I actually reviewed the next one on my blog, reconciledtoyou.com. It's called Blessed Are You, and it's Melanie Rigney, looking really speaking to Melanie. Loved that book. The week after that, we having another comerbacker. Return guest, Barbara Harsbach. Faith Has Made You Well. And at the last book, week of the month, the thought we'd kick off some financial help, some finance talk, some money advice from John and Evelyn Bean. They are Breadbox Media hosts themselves. They have a show here. So John and Evelyn Bean, Barbara Harsbach, and Melanie Rigney all joining us this month on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. And again, that will be up over on reconciledtoyou.com pretty soon. You could get links to these books or look at their websites or read their reviews and get prepared to spend some time with us. Again, your on-air book club. And I'd really love for this to turn into a conversation. Love to hear from more of you over on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page or calling in 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Or you can always send me a message over at aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com. So let's end the segment by looking actually at Mary's book, Everyday Divine. So in her book, she has little segments that are just really helpful things. You have practical wisdom is one of them, where she gives us some words from saints and from holy men and women. We have moving meditation, notes from the journey, exercises and resources, a really just truly great book to kick off our year. So the practical wisdom here on chapter one, Creating Calm Amid the Chaos, comes from one of my favorites, Henry Nouwen. And it says, prayer is not simply some necessary compartment in the daily schedule of a Christian or a source of support in time of need. Nor is it restricted to Sunday mornings or mealtimes. Praying is living. It is eating and drinking, action and rest, teaching and learning, playing and working, praying. I'm making up new words. What a surprise. Praying pervades every aspect of our lives. Praying pervades every aspect of our lives. At least it certainly should. Now, you're connected. We're talking about being, she goes on to talk about how complicated life can be, because not only do we have busy schedules with our family and work, but we're connected 24/7. She talks about social media, which I'm totally, Facebook is probably my biggest time cruncher or stealer. TV is another, especially when I'm feeling down or overwhelmed. My go-to is just to flip on that television and to kind of get kind of sucked into it. I have to be honest. Last night I was pretty excited to have Gallivant and Downton Abbey back on. And so that was a good way. So Sunday's a day of rest. So Sundays, it's okay to let yourself veg and give in to a good Patriots game, and even though we lost, and Gallivant and Downton Abbey. But so my resolution for 2016 is to try not to be let that be my go-to all the time. Sundays, then try to restrain my TV watching to Sundays and maybe one other day of the week where it's okay to let your mind go there. But there's so many other things that are just as, believe it or not, just as calming and relaxing, but yet more spiritually uplifting. And so I really like this, the ideas that Mary shares here in her book, Everyday Divine. Moving meditation for this chapter. Look at your prayer life right now. How do you pray? When do you pray? Mary asks. Consider adding a few minutes of prayer to the start of your day. Tape a favorite prayer or spiritual quote to your bathroom mirror and say the words out loud or silently as you shave or dry your hair. Or put a prayer in the kitchen where you'll see it as you make breakfast. I've got one, Mary shares, hanging above the makeup basket in the bathroom. And another over my coffee maker in the kitchen, because I'm not going anywhere without morning coffee. I can rest assured I'll spot my prayer reminder and start my day off with the right spiritual foot. I also have prayer cards that I stick in. I have a full-length mirror that I got when I was married from my friend Laura. And I stick in there all kinds of prayer cards. And usually I'm looking at the saint. I have a huge picture of Jesus. But on the back of that is a Sacred Heart novena that they'll, you know, that I'll offer, pull up and use on certain days. But just to have those reminders as I'm getting ready in the morning that I'm part of a cloud of witnesses. You know, I'm not alone in this journey, that I have saints and angels that are going to go with me and look over me, and I can pray and talk with them. You know, prayer is a conversation. I think that's one of the things that we have to kind of get used to, that prayer is a conversation. So if I'm talking to my guardian angel, I'm praying. Our Blessed Mother, I'm praying. I used to have these long conversations with myself. Another thing that I did many years ago that I continue to this day is I turn those inner conversations into dialogue with my guardian angel, with Blessed Mother, with a saint, Faustina or Trez or whoever I need help for that day. I turn to them, and then that conversation now becomes prayer, because everyone talks to themselves. We all have this like inner dialogue going on in our heads. But I can tell you right now, it's a lot more fruitful dialogue when we link it to heavenly things, for those this unseen world, our saints and our angels. And truly, the holy souls in purgatory. This is my big thing for 2016, is to spend time praying for the souls in purgatory. I have Susan Tassone's book, Day by Day, and there's a prayer each day for the holy souls. And I've actually gone in and written a person's name on almost every page. I'm still looking for people. So if you want to send me a message over at Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page or on reconciledtoyou.com, that who you would like me to add to my prayer, I have at least 100 more spots left. I would be honored to pray for your loved ones. I really, this year of mercy, we have the spiritual and the corporal works of mercy. I talked about one of the corporal works of feeding the hungry is definitely one of the corporal works, but clothing the naked. There's also the spiritual works of mercy, and to pray for the living and the dead is one of them. So I'm going to use this time, the spiritual work of mercy for me for 2016 is going to be praying for the dead. And so each day I have a new person that I'll pray for and offer my day and my work for, if Our Lady, who I've given all my merits to through my consecration to Jesus, through Mary, it's so deemed for this person. But I'm definitely going to be praying every day for a different soul. And if you have somebody that you'd like prayed for, again, give me a message over at reconciledtoyou.com or seekingheart@redboxmedia.com. Be very happy to pray for your loved ones. Which just talks about, you know, in this book, as we go forward, we'll talk a lot more on Wednesday and Thursdays about being mindful. Her cravings book was all about mindful eating. And here, for many Catholics, she writes, the word mindfulness makes their ears perk up. Isn't that a Buddhist practice? What's it doing in a Catholic book on prayer? And she reminds us that God's in the details. There's that sort of the Catholic version of mindfulness. When you want to bring prayer into everyday life, you have to slow down and start noticing the details. The first step in the journey is always awareness. Wherever you are, God is there, Mary reminds us. If only you take the time to notice. And, you know, I talk all about God sentences. You know, in another good thing that came from this difficult time of Brett's passing, again, please keep Brett Plute in your prayers, it was being at the wake. Adam really wanted to spend as much time as he could there. And of course, I would never have made him leave before he was ready. Doesn't drive, so I went with him. And I was just standing outside, and one of the other moms came over and introduced herself. And before I knew it, by the end of the conversation, I had invited her to join our Bible study. She's going to join us this evening as we kick off Created to Relate from Kelly Walquist. I'm kind of excited to spend some time with that book with my friends. Already the grace from such a terrible tragedy is starting to be shown. God promises good for all who love him, regardless of the circumstances or the situation. And here we're already seeing it, but you have to be mindful. And one of the things that she wrote in her email to join us was, nothing is coincidence. And I couldn't agree with her more. If you have a mindfulness to seek God in the everyday, you will start to really enjoy God's sentences where you just see God's hand so clearly at work. One of the things that happened on a Christmas day when they were announcing that Brett had passed away and to pray for him, I looked over and I stand signing for my daughter, and there's a huge tree with angel all over it, and we pray for the souls in purgatory, and the name that was right eye level, popped right out at me, it was Brett's grandmother. So again, nothing is coincidence. I look forward to being with you again on Wednesday to talk about Everyday Divine. Enjoy tomorrow's encore presentation of the very first Seeking Heart. This has been a Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.